Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2025. My guest is Brett Stewart, the president of Global AgriTrends. Thanks for joining us, Brett.
Good to be with you, Bruce.
As part of Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2025, you discussed the topic, what's next for the global pork market. First of all, how is the political turmoil in the United States impacting agriculture, agricultural trade, and what are the factors?
Boy, that's a big question, Bruce. You know, we've all been front row participants of Donald Trump's trade agenda, his plans. For a year, we've heard the rhetoric about tariffs, and tariffs have come on, and tariffs have been reduced and put back on. Bottom line, I would say, is this. I think Trump's agenda has pretty much rolled out on tariffs. The impact on agriculture, I would say, has been quite minimal compared to what we thought it could be. You can look at U.S.-Canada. Our agriculture trade is still pretty much all tariff-free. The one industry that's been affected is Brazil. Brazil beef to the U.S. pays a 76% tariff. It has stopped most of that from coming. But outside of Brazilian beef, we really haven't seen much of an impact. U.S. beef prices are high. We're going to have record beef imports on a year that we impose tariffs. That would be a little surprising. But we're also seeing some new deals. A week ago, President Trump was in Southeast Asia. He signed deals with four countries down there, Vietnam, Cambodia, Malaysia, and Thailand. We'll see what those turn out to be. He also announced a deal with China that removes the retaliation tariffs. That pretty much takes us back maybe to par of where we were, but we'll see where these deals go. Now, the wild card is this, Bruce. The Supreme Court is reviewing the legality of whether he can impose tariffs. And so as early as maybe even January, February, we'll find out on what they rule, and their ruling will stand. And so there is a possibility that Trump could lose his authority to impose tariffs. That would be a big change.
We did see Donald Trump increase the tariff on Canadian imports from 25 to 35%. What impact is that having across the board, but especially with regards to agriculture?
Yeah, so that was Trump's response to Premier Ford's commercial showing Reagan speaking bad about tariffs. And so, yeah, that was a knee-jerk response. Canada gets another 10%. So Canada tariffs into the U.S. are now 35%. But the footnote on that is only for products outside of the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Free Trade Agreement, which today is less than 15% of trade. And so virtually no effect, right? So those 35% tariffs, at least beef, pork, cattle, hogs, none of that's affected at all.
How are agricultural export patterns shifting for both Canada and the U.S., especially when it comes to livestock, particularly pork?
Yeah, I guess the fundamental driver of demand is people and money. Both of those continue to increase in the world. We still are trying to feed a rising population for now with more money. And so that's good news for livestock producers. We've seen the grain prices moderate. Profits are a little better. But we're seeing new markets develop. We're seeing existing market shifts. Canada's on track to export a record amount of pork this year with the new market, Japan. They've really taken a foothold in Japan. And so there's some big changes out there, but fundamentally, more people and more money means we need more agriculture.
Where does Canadian pork have an advantage globally? What are the factors, and how do Canada-U.S. relations factor into that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bruce, and I've been following both of these sectors for 20 years. I've been involved in the Canadian pork sector, the U.S. pork sector. It's interesting because we all know our prices are very closely correlated. Canadian hogs are typically priced off the U.S. market, and so there's no big competitive advantage on either side of the border. We're both doing the same things. But if I had to look and say, where is Canada more competitive? What have they done differently? I would say typically your packing plants up here are not as big and fast as those plants in the U.S., which sometimes makes the costs higher here. But what it does, the Canadian packers and exporters have been very responsive to overseas consumer demands. An example would be Japan. When it comes to sourcing the right spec for chilled pork loins to Japan, I think your Canadian exporters have been willing to make adjustments, even if it requires some potentially even slowing down a line or sorting or doing some things different. That has brought them success in Japan, whereas in the U.S., we have these big-scale plants that are running very quick. Everything's about cost and throughput. And so where we all have the same competitive structure, that's one way Canada has differentiated.
How may the landscape change in regards to trade as a result of the upcoming renegotiation of the Canada-U.S.-Mexico trade agreement?
Yeah, so that review is due in 2026, and that's a good question. I am not a good political forecaster, especially when it comes to Donald Trump. I don't know where that goes. I would say that agreement has worked well for all three partners. I think it has. I think I don't see a real reason where something would need to change. I would expect that everything being normal, we just renew that plan going forward. Now, Trump has been vocal in the past about poultry and dairy. And I know that's a tender topic up here in Canada because of supply management. And so that could be something that could come up in that review. We could go back to the mat over poultry and dairy and supply management.
The upcoming midterms, how may that change the political landscape, and what impact could that have on tariffs, trade, and Canada-U.S. relations?
Yeah, so as you know, our presidential elections are every 4 years. Our congressional elections are every 2 years. So the midterms will be a year from now, November 2026. And what that is, when a president's in office, that first midterm, halfway through his term, is really a referendum on how the president's doing. And so we'll see who wins those seats, especially those close races in a year. And that could either confirm Trump's policies and agenda and say America likes it and give him a little more leverage to keep pushing forward, or it could be a rejection, and it could be a signal to him that, hey, you aren't going to have the congressional support you thought you had. It could tamper that. And so we'll see where that goes, but we're a year out, and I'm sure it's already a big topic for discussion.
At this stage, how is the outlook for particularly Canadian pork, but North American pork?
Yeah, we're in a good spot, Bruce, and it has been 23 and 24 were tough years in this industry, and the losses accrued quickly, and that was high grain prices. It was a difficult time. But if you look at where we're at today, hog farmers are making money today. And typically the best profits are made in the summer, the lowest profits are made over the winter. But just using the U.S. hog futures as a forecast, we should see hog producers profitable right on through the end of 2026. And that's based on these affordable grain prices. And we've got decent demand. I would say demand is a little better than what it was the last 2 years in the U.S. and Canada. So I think it's a glimmer of hope here. It's good to see profits flowing again in the pork sector.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I don't think so. I think that's it, Bruce.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Great to be with you.
Our guest has been Brett Stewart, the president of Global AgriTrends. For Farmscape Online at Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2025, I'm Bruce Cochran.